Do we put our trust in God or man? That's the question before us today on Chapter and Verse.
And this is what he's saying here for you. God's got it in control. Man's goings are of the Lord. He knows where you're going to be. How then can a man understand his own way? If we don't know and God is leading us, then we have to live by faith every day. So we can plan, but it's ultimately the Lord that wants to lead us. And there's, the Bible says in Proverbs, a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Story recently from a pastor who told of a friend who prayed to God whether or not he was supposed to go and get a haircut, and the Lord answered no. A few days later, the man prayed again and the Lord answered yes. Well, the man shared Christ with that particular barber. He accepted the Lord and ended up with a free haircut. Now, when we pray to God and ask for his daily guidance, we may not end up with a free haircut, but we may never know the opportunities we've passed up by not seeking his will and guidance. So now listen carefully as Mike McIntosh begins our study today titled, Receive Counsel of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20 is our text here on Chapter and Verse. Now, let's join Mike.
So here's some things if you're given to, and I speak from wisdom having been a brawling drunk and a bad mouth guy. Wine is a mocker. And I know a lot of people like to drink wine. But it is a mocker. And there's a week or two here, we're going to see a whole chapter just about wine, of how deceptive it is. But it mocks you. It looks good, it tastes great, but it mocks you because it starts breaking down your willpower and you get a little loose lips. And we all know loose lips sink ships. And then all of a sudden, you could just be out of it. Strong drink is a brawler. So getting beyond wine, getting to Jack Daniels, getting to whiskey, vodka, whatever, it brings people into a rage. And you've heard the term, oh, he's a raging alcoholic. That's a fighting, brawling dude. And whoever's deceived by this or led astray is not a wise person. So what it's saying is that if you're given to alcohol and drinking, and you let alcohol rule in your life or cause you to give up your morals or your ethics for a moment just because you had a few drinks or because everybody else is doing it, you're not very wise. Otherwise, it has the power of deception and leading you astray. That's what alcohol has. But it is so ingratiated into our society, we take it as part of cultural life. And billions are made by the alcohol advertisers over sports, as if getting drunk to watch a sport makes any sense at all. But it's always about a bunch of guys getting drunk and eating their pizza, all the ads, and punching each other, and or cops arresting people at the football games or the baseball games or whatever. It just doesn't make sense, but we don't see that. But wisdom says right here, strong drink causes you to fight. You'll be raging, you'll be brawling. Wine will end up mocking you and breaking down your willpower. If you're led astray, if alcohol leads you and is a regular part of your schedule, you can't make it without it, then it has grabbed a hold of your ingenuity and it has deceived you. And you're under its control instead of it just being a passing drink. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion, and we saw that already, but look what he says. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. And you're going to get hurt if you mess with the king, is what he's saying, and he's going to roar. You know, strong drink will cause the rages, and the alcohol deceives people, and the mind is altered. Thomas Fuller said this, wine has drowned more men than the sea. Destroyed a lot of lives, a lot of lives. Verse 3, it is honorable for a man, underline right there. If it says it's honorable for a man, you want it, don't you? It is honorable for a man to stop striving. That's honorable. So if you want an honorable attribute in your life, don't be recognized as a striver, a contentious person. Since any fool can start a quarrel. Isn't that interesting? So what's honorable is you have control. And what causes striving and a quarrel? I think always trying to be right. always arguing and trying to prove your point above somebody else's. That you have to have the last word. So honor, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. So then when you hear, and your nature is, I'm going to jump in on this one, honor is that you don't need to start strife. Hey, that's what you think, that's great. But you don't have to prove your point. Verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. Well, he will beg during harvest and have nothing. New King James is a little stronger. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. So the lazy person. Basically, the lazy person has an excuse for everything. And this is just one excuse. And you could come up with 50 of them, I'm sure. The lazy man says, well, I can't go plow because there's snow out in the field. Then if it was summer, he'd say, well, I can't plow because the humidity is so high and it's so hot outside. The lazy person has a way with words to say why he's not accomplishing anything with his life. Well, it was the dumb teachers I had last semester. That's why I got all those D's and didn't finish that. It was the teachers. Man, you wouldn't believe how dumb they are. They're just really dumb. Could I have another beer, please? So when you have a friend or you hear somebody that is at work or you're around them a lot at the beach or something and they're always having excuses, you may want to take note. That's probably a lazy person, and they end up begging when everybody else is reaping, and they end up having nothing with their lives. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. So you want to get, a person of understanding is a person of wisdom, you want to get all you can out of the people you can. I love learning from other people, but one of the people that I know that really knows something, man, I have my fishing rod out there and I got my scoop bucket and I'm trying to get all I can, ask all the questions I can so I can understand what makes them tick and what makes them honorable and what makes them good at what they do. So understanding is going to say, wow, I'd really like to know what's going on here. I remember the first time I was alone with Mr. Graham, Billy Graham, and I had 21 questions written down. And about the third question, he said, now, is this an interview? Are you a journalist? I thought you were a minister. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to miss any questions here. And you want to look at that. When you're around somebody with wisdom, draw all you can out. It's like deep water, the counsel that they can give to you. Seventh verse, the just man walks in his integrity. And because of that, there's the fruit of it. His children are blessed after him. So look at the two parallel words that Solomon uses in verse 7, just and integrity. So he's justified. And not because of his integrity, but because of what God has done in him. So a man that is justified in the Lord, that has integrity, the blessings are reaped by the children. Verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. Otherwise, when the bad people look at him, they come into the throne room, all he has to do is give them eye contact and they shrivel up. Verse 9, who can say, and this was our message from Sunday morning, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. And of course the answer is nobody can say that because we can't do it, but God can do it. Verse 10, diverse weights and diverse measures, they're both alike an abomination to the Lord. So in those days they weighed everything out on scales, and if you cheated with the scales, that was an abomination before the Lord. Even a child, verse 11, is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. So how much more us as adults? People can just see the fruit of our lives, and they can see if we're living the right life or not. But a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. In Exodus, Moses says, but oh Lord God, I can't go and speak for you because I'm of slow speech. And it leads us to believe that he has a speech impediment. And the Lord said to him, Moses, am not I he who made the blind and the deaf and the dumb and the lame? In the main. So here Solomon takes the other side, that it is God who has made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. But God knows everybody's physical condition, if it's perfect or if it's handicapped. He's the maker of it all. He knows. 13th verse, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. So open your eyes, and you'll be satisfied with bread. Verse 14, I've always liked this one. This is good for all you used carsmen, salesmen. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. New King James says, it is not, it is nothing. It is nothing, says the buyer. It's like you're at a garage sale on Saturday morning. You're the first one in the driveway. You've been waiting. They have some things you want in there. And you go and you look at it and you say, oh, this really isn't worth anything. I don't know. You want $5, probably. I don't know. It's nothing. Well, okay, how about for now? Nah, it's not really. 50 cents. Okay, I'll take it. And then you go to the car and say, wow, I can sell this on eBay for $25. Man, I made a deal. So be careful when people negotiate that way. You know what they're saying. Ah, it's really nothing. I don't know if I want it or not. When he goes his way, he's going to say, I really stole it and got such a deal. In negotiating, some say they don't see the value, when in reality, they more than see the value. So once he's saying here a person obtains their goal, then there is finally value in their purchase also. There is gold and a multitude of rubies. Verse 15, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So let's say you can't afford gold at $1,000 an ounce. And you can't afford rubies and gems, but lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Like I had you interact and tell each other something you pick up on those verses. Well, that's knowledge. So it's like your lips are precious jewels. You're speaking God's word. Verse 16, take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it's for a seductress. Otherwise, don't expect to get paid back. So you better have something when it's a stranger or a seductress. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards the mouth will be filled with gravel. So he lied, he cheated, he got the bread, but afterwards it's going to turn to rocks in his mouth. You steal something, you deceive, it's never going to be a pure taste to you at all. Now, this is a very important one to lead a better life. Would you circle it in the person's Bible sitting on your left-hand side? He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Now, those of you who have taken our leadership training course, this is one of the words that I have that you study is the word discretion. And discretion means that you don't go talking about other people or things you've been exposed to, somebody's life. You just keep that to yourself and you don't be a talebearer. So what I get out of this and like about that 19th verse is, if a person tells you secrets, they'll end up telling your secrets. So I'll never trust a person that comes to me and says, so-and-so said, da da da. Oh, really? So you're bearing the tale to me. So now I know right away I have to be careful with you of the things that I say, because I can't have discretionary discussions with you. I'm not going to say, could we have a disclaimer signed here before we talk? I just know that I've got to zip my lips and be careful. So when a person flatters, Solomon is saying, be very cautious of that person. There's something up if somebody telling you that you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. The tongue, somebody said, we spend 3 years learning how to use it, and then the rest of our lives learning how to control it. That's true. The 20th verse. Whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. This is the second thing that he's brought up about, you know, in a sense abusing the parent or being disrespectful. What I'd like to do is just pause for a moment of quietness that we can all pray quietly. And for you to pray for your mothers and fathers if they're still alive. But if there's an issue with you and your mother and father, or either or of them, why not just ask the Lord tonight to take it, that you could honor them? Okay? So let's just bow our heads right now. Lord, right now there's hundreds of people that are going to be speaking with you. And I pray that you, Father God, in Jesus' name, would hear these petitions and that you would honor these men and women as they discuss their parents with you. And pray that you would just bless their relationships with mom and dad. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Now, there's a lot of different layers to this. First of all, you're living in a time of wealth transfer so huge it's never been done before because of the demographics. And I picked up about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that the real estate bubble was a myth and it was going to hit, and it was somewhat designed because they began changing the bankruptcy laws. And they knew that you were all going to get hit hard and there were going to be lots of bankruptcies. And so the laws have been changed. You can't clean off all your debt. There are some debts that you still have to pay. And a lot of that is to credit card companies. So they knew what was coming, but they changed the law instead of giving you total relief to protect the corporations instead. All right. So here we have people turning 60 years old every day, about 8,000 in America. And they're getting ready to kick the bucket, go to heaven, to leave planet Earth. And they're going to start transferring their wealth. So the president and his staff that are in now, a number of years ago when they came in, one of the first things they did was get rid of the tax on people dying. So it would have been a really good tax time for you to have died and transferred your wealth in the last 7 years. The new people, either or, that want to come in now on a heavily taxed. The strange thing about the death tax is that all that you have has been taxed, and now that you're dead, you can't fight it, they want to tax it one more time. So it's taxation on taxation without representation. You're not there, right? So an inheritance hastily gained at the beginning. Let me just say this. If your parents or grandparents die and they leave you an inheritance, and you hastily get it and you go out and start spending it, it's going to be gone. But with wisdom and counsel, like the very first verse we saw, you sat down and you get a plan and you lay it out and you've got the best plan, but now you bring the Lord into the plan and His counsel is the counsel that will stand. He's going to bless this. But if it's just grabbed and you go out and spend it, it's just what Ecclesiastes says, that you make all your money to give it to somebody after you die and then they don't know how to handle it. So inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. It's going to go away. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. He will save you. Diverse weights, and this is the second time he said that, are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Verse 24. Circle this, put a star beside it, and memorize it. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? How can we say next week, James said, we're going to do such and such when you don't even know what next week holds? And what he's saying here is it's not that you don't plan, but it's that you don't try to control everything. See, a man's steps are of the Lord. He's got a plan for your life. And this is what he's saying here for you, that God's got it in control. Man's goings are of the Lord. He knows where you're going to be. How then can a man understand his own way? If we don't know and God is leading us, then we have to live by faith every day. So we can plan, but it's ultimately the Lord that wants to lead us. And there's the Bible says in Proverbs, a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. So we can follow the Lord, I've learned, and be blessed. And I try to take my pastor's deal. I just show up and whatever grows out of it, then we have to be good stewards and manage it and oversee it and watch it multiply. So you can just follow the Lord and be blessed, or as some people, they go do something and then they ask the Lord to bless it. We've all been in that situation. And in committees and groups, they go do something. Oh, Lord, would you bless this? It's better that you just let Him do it and you see it's blessed and accept the blessings as God's grace, His unmerited favor. Then He gets all the honor and all the glory. Now as we wrap it up, look at verse 25. It's a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy, and afterwards to reconsider his vow. Listen to what New King James says. It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy after vows to make, and then afterwards vows to make inquiry. Here's New King James. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy, and afterwards then reconsider his vow. God, I promise you, if you sell the house, I'll give you 10%. And then the Lord sells the house and say, well, you know, we didn't get as much as we thought, so Lord, we're going to give you 5%. No, don't take something that's holy and make a vow with it and then reconsider what you, Lord, I'll give you my life if you get me out of this. He gets you out of it. Well, could you check with me in 4 years once I get out of college? And then I'll talk to you about it, you know. No, that isn't it. And then here's what the Living Bible says. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. So when we say something to the Lord, we better count the cost before the Lord that we're surrendering our souls to Him. Verse 27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. That's the spirit of man. God's lamp is inside you, looking deeply. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Now you see, loving kindness is Jeremiah 9:24. If any man glories, let him glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord God, exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. So the king, the CEO, the boss, the department head, whatever your role is as a leader, that you uphold your throne, you uphold your position by loving kindness, not by being mean. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Now the glory of young men is their strength, their muscles. The splendor of old men is their gray head. Yeah, when I turned 50, I could bench press 200 pounds and run 3 miles. Then I turned 60 and I could bench press 3 pounds and run 200 feet. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Lord God, we thank you so much for your wisdom, and we thank you that for each of us that we can come to you every day and just ask for some wisdom. Lord, I know there are people that are looking for new jobs in this audience, and we pray that you would lead their footsteps to the right place. Lord, there are people that are trying to buy or sell their homes, and it's a frustrating thing. And we pray that you'll bring the buyers and the sellers that are necessary. Lord, we know there are people that are hurting because their industry has a downturn in it. But we pray that you'll use this not as a negative, but show them that you feed the sparrows every day, and if one falls to the ground and dies, you take notice of it, and that you are able to bring them every penny they need for their lives to take care of them. So, Lord, we pray as we learn wisdom and discretion and understanding and knowledge, it'll put a big trust in our hearts towards you, Father. I pray for this congregation that we would be people that trust you, that lean on you, that are led by you, that are blessed by you. We're not trying to orchestrate anything or be anything. We're just wanting to show up and love you and receive your love in return. So help us walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. And help us just relax in the Holy Ghost and in your wisdom, that you've got it all under control and you have a wonderful plan for each of us. And all we need to do is be submissive to your leading. As we take these scriptures of chapter 19 and 20, we pray that you'll bury them deeply into our hearts. You'll water them, you'll refresh them, and you'll bring forth great strength into our lives. Help us to guard our tongues and not be talebearers. Help us to honor our parents. Help us, O Lord, to consider the poor. And help us, Lord, to walk in our integrity. Help us, Lord, to be wise in every purpose being established by counsel and insight from friends, family, and the Scriptures. Lord, help us to be wise on alcohol and its use and anything that would harm our minds or our bodies. And help us, Lord, not to be lazy people with excuses of why we can't do something, but let us be people of faith that will rise up and do great and mighty things because we trust and we believe in you. In Jesus Christ's name, honor this congregation and pour out blessings that none of us can contain. In your name we pray. Amen.
By allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and regular study and meditation of God's Word, we can be confident that the decisions we make will be for our best interest when we listen to God and His leading. You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse with the conclusion to his message, Receive Counsel of the Lord. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Proverbs, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online at MikeMacintosh.com. That's all the time we have for today. Join us next time on CNV when we'll continue to examine the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.